Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. Coming up, a nuclear power expert from the environmental group NRDC with his take on the Japan situation. Old questions resurfacing about the GE plant design and use there, cutting corners, and its implications for the U.S. But first, we continue our series this week on the crisis in the American pension system, both public and private. Today, we return to the private sector, with so many older Americans unhappy with their 401k savings and wishing they had a traditional monthly pension. Our former Assistant Treasury Secretary guest on Monday said the average American nearing retirement has only about $78,000 in their 401k. I'm told that for some people, that's on top of a defined benefit pension. But imagine for those people who don't have one, it's a pathetic amount to try to retire on. Our guest today declares the 401k system a failure and proposes some alternatives. He also critiques President Obama's plan for reform. Bet you didn't even know he had one, as insufficient. So with me now is Robert Hilton Smith. He's a policy analyst at the progressive think tank Demos and author of the report called The Failure of the 401k. Robert, thanks for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Brian, thanks so much for having me. It's a real pleasure to be here.
And we'll talk mostly about the alternatives to the 401k in your report, and we'll take phone calls from listeners with alternatives that you all may come up with. But first, do you want to give us a short summary of why you declare the failure of the 401k right in the title of your report?
Sure, I'd be glad to. So there are a couple of different reasons why the 401k is really just inadequate as the primary vehicle for Americans' retirement savings, right? So first of all, really, maybe a historical note, it was never really intended to be the primary retirement savings vehicle, right? When Congress created it when it came into effect in 1980, they really created it with the intention of it being on top of the defined benefit system and really for higher income employees to be able to save like their additional retirement income in.
To put some of it away tax-deferred.
Right, exactly, as a place for them tax-deferred to stash their additional retirement income, which would supplement their pension. So it was, you know, it wasn't created as with the thought in mind of being a primary retirement savings
vehicle. So what's the history of that a little bit deeper? Who lobbied for the 401k if they didn't intend it to let employers off the hook with respect to traditional pensions? Who wanted it? Was it kind of a lobby of upper income people who were looking for another way to defer taxes?
It was. It was a lobby of, well, corporations who had upper income employees, and they said, our employees are asking for another way to be able to stash some money away, basically to temporarily hide it from taxes, at least. And we need a place for them to do that, and you guys need to create one for us. And the IRS said, okay, but because of anti-discrimination laws, basically, we said, only if you make it available to all of your employees as well. So that was, you know, the way it worked.
And what did it become?
Well, it became, as we all know, now the place where most of us get the wonderful opportunity to get to stash our retirement savings. You know, as your other guests have talked about, the defined benefit system has completely gone away. But as you led with, it's really, truly just not the place for it for a couple of big reasons that I highlight in my report, right? So first of all, it's just, it exposes retirees to all sorts of risks, right, that they weren't exposed to under the defined benefit system. So they're exposed to the risk of not outliving their retirement savings, right? They're exposed to risks of market fluctuation, just having their retirement savings tank in a market crash like just happened. They're exposed to really just what we call investment risk, really just really not knowing what to invest in or how much to invest in or where to invest. Basically, you know, they can withdraw the retirement savings, they hit with a shock. There's all sorts of things they're exposed to.
Listeners, call up if you want to help reinvent the pension system. If traditional pensions in the private sector are dying on the vine and 401ks are insufficient, and we'll get more into why based on what the alternative is that our guest likes, but call and help reinvent the retirement saving system for the private sector in America. 212-433-WNYC. And I guess this would matter to public workers too if they in fact start losing their traditional benefits as the movement is that in that direction politically right now. 212-433-WNYC to try and reinvent retirement savings. 212-433-9692. And before we get into these alternatives, just to not romanticize the traditional pension more than it deserves, didn't low-income Americans have low-value pensions anyway that you can't really live on? I have a friend who works in a food stamps office and says she regularly encounters elderly people eligible for food stamps who have pensions, but they're like a few hundred dollars a month.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Brian. In fact, the traditional pension system, as the 401k system also, doesn't reach most low-income individuals. Under the current system, I think it's something like it's about 35% of the bottom quartile of the income bracket have 401ks, and that's about the same as it was in the traditional pension. That the coverage hasn't really changed much. So the big problem in the shift has really just been the exposure to the risk, and then all these high fees, of course, I write about in the report that the 401k system really also exposes people to that they didn't get hit with on the traditional pension system.
The Wall Street firms get to take out some fees.
Exactly.
For holding the investments. All right, the alternatives. Let's do it this way. The one you like best in your report is called the Guaranteed Benefit Plan or Guaranteed Retirement Accounts. Want to take a minute or two and explain how these would work?
Sure thing. So we at Demos and I like these Guaranteed Retirement Accounts because it's one example of a plan that combines what we think are the best features of both the traditional pensions, the defined benefit system, and then the 401ks. So they take... They're mobile. They allow you. They do move with you from job to job. So let me back up. What the guaranteed retirement accounts are basically a universal system of accounts which anybody could contribute into, but which employers who didn't offer 401ks would be asked to offer as to give their workers some kind of retirement coverage, and they would basically employees. And the government would even kick in a little bit. Everybody would contribute into these things, and they'd offer a guaranteed return, which is one of the big differences from the 401k. It would be a
guaranteed. So, in other words, you don't retire with a lump sum like a 401k. You retire with an annuity. Is that the right word? Something that would be distributed every month for the rest of your life.
Right. So in these guaranteed retirement accounts, you own the account. That's your individual account, and your annuity, the amount you retire with, is based on your account balance at retirement, mm-hmm. but it's an annuity. It's guaranteed for life, just as under the old defined benefit system, which is one of the big risks under the 401k system.
Now, does that limit individual choice? Can't people take their 401ks today and invest them in annuities if they choose to, or take more of the money at one time and less at another if they need it for medical costs or want it for travel or whatever?
Right. And, this system isn't proposing to replace the 401k system. You'd still be able to invest, as was initially intended, your excess retirement funds basically wherever you want to. But this would be intended to provide kind of a stable base on top of Social Security. And then you'd have, in an ideal world, you'd have your other savings to be able to put where you wanted to.
Because traditionally, there are three legs to the stool. That's what people always used to say. I don't know if they say it anymore.
Metaphor.
Right? The metaphor is the three-legged stool of retirement savings. It's Social Security, it's your pension, and it's additional personal savings.
Exactly. And that's obviously completely disappeared in the past 30 years, basically, as traditional pensions have gone by the wayside.
Another principle in the guaranteed retirement accounts is that they are protected from excessive losses. Unlike today's 401ks, which, of course, depend on how they're invested. How would that work? How would you guarantee these retirement accounts from excessive losses and still have them grow?
Well, the way that it works is just, in fact, as TIA, CREF, and state pension systems have been doing for years, this guaranteed retirement account system would provide a guaranteed return. So you get a 3% return on top of inflation, a real return. And that would be – so you don't – it's a – base level return that isn't subject to the fluctuations of the market. And they're able to do this because just as TIA CREF does, just as traditional pensions do, investments are pooled and they have a long investment horizon and then can give you this base guaranteed return. So you're not subject to the market fluctuations and you're not subject to these huge fees, these fees that can really eat up a quarter of your account balance under the 401k system.
It's not a lot of return, 3%.
It doesn't seem like it, but when you actually look at stock market returns over a long period of time, right, over a 40-year period, you're talking 4 to 5% average real returns over a long horizon. That's what you can expect from the stock market after inflation. And then once you take fees out of that, you're really in the same ballpark as that 3%, actually. People are a lot of financial experts and Wall Street may promise you these giant returns, but, these don't really pan out. A lot of times what you get is, you know, destroyed account balances that happened in the past recession, right?
So who pays into this guaranteed retirement account and how much? I mean, the big problem with 401ks today, one of them, is that they simply don't accumulate that much money for most people, with only the employee putting in or the employer only matching a few percent. So what does the employer contribute? What does the employee contribute? And what does that do to current wages?
Well, the current proposal is to set a floor, a contribution floor, just as in all these other proposals as well. Part of the idea is to force, is to actually ask everyone to contribute a small minimum percentage. So the guaranteed retirement account proposal has 2.5% to start with. Other proposals have a floor that escalates as you get older. So there are a couple of different ways, but we want everybody, employer and employee alike, to have to put some minimum amount in there to make sure you end up with enough at retirement. Because if you don't put in every year, you're not going to end up with enough, right?
And it would mean less money today for most people, right? Because employers will argue that anything they put into a retirement system is that much less in your immediate paycheck because it's all coming out of the same pot of money that they have available for compensation.
Well, you know, I think that that argument is slightly disingenuous, honestly, because as actually Alicia Monell on Monday said, you know, the traditional pensions, the amount employer contributed were considered part of your wages. But when we switched over from traditional pensions to 401ks, wages didn't go up as you would have expected as employers' contributions lessened. So, you know, and look at the profits. Look at all the profits of firms since the financial crisis has kind of lessened, right? We've got a lot of firms sitting on big piles of cash. You know, a lot of companies have enough money to be able to kick in a little bit extra. And in fact, if you ask them to, it wouldn't necessarily come out of employees' wages.
My guest on WNYC as we continue our five-part pension series is Robert Hilton Smith, policy analyst at the progressive think tank Demos, author of their report called The Failure of the 401k. And guess what, Robert? Our lines are absolutely full with people calling up to help invent the retirement savings system. So
great.
Let's hear from a few of them, okay? Let's see. How about Anne in Manhattan? You're on WNYC. Hi, Anne.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. I completely agree with your guest that the system is in serious need of repair. I am currently not working, but managed to put $5,000 still towards my IRA. And when I did my taxes, my online tax preparation software said that I couldn't do it. That not only could I not contribute any money to my IRA this year, but I would be penalized 6% every year that amount stayed in my account. So I had to take it out, get a hit. It was insane that you can't add money to your IRA account if you're not working.
That does sound pretty crazy. She couldn't, I guess because it was an income, Robert, right?
Right.
And she couldn't take money from her other savings and shift it into the tax-deferred retirement savings.
Right. They do require you to contribute income. And that's just one of the examples of the absolutely ridiculous features of today's retirement system, right? It penalizes people like you, Anne, who are, you know, scrimping and pulling every last penny they have to try to save for retirement, and then it won't even let you. You know, we need to have a place where everybody can save without penalty, without problems.
All right. So there's one principle from Ann, more flexibility. Thank you, Ann. Dave in Morris County, you're on WNYC. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, I mean, when you talked about the three-legged stool, that's my advice. It's all about diversification. You know, I have a variable life annuity, variable life insurance that acts as an annuity. You know, we put some money away in our IRAs. I have a 401k from my employer, but I certainly don't put all my eggs in that basket. I choose to use the 401k because the employer offers some matching funds, and to me, that's free chicken.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, you know, I'm not depending on the 401k for retirement. I've got, like, you know, 15 different irons in the fire. They're a dollar each, don't get me wrong. But, you know, you can't depend on the one thing. I wonder if I could ask, you know, the question, which is, can my employer renege on their end of the matching funds? Is there any sort of legal recourse if my employer says, oh, yeah, we said we were going to match a certain percentage, but turns out we're not? Is that an issue? Thanks.
Great question. Yeah, they unfortunately can renege on that, and there is no legal resource. In fact, in the most recent recession, something like 20% of employers suspended their match temporarily or completely eliminated it because,
right.
And that's, you know, that's completely up to their discretion. The match is a benefit they provide to you, and it's not legally required by any means that they do so. So another one of the problems of the system.
And what about the employer pot of money that's in your 401k already. If a company goes out of business, then you lose that when you retire because they could claw it back, or it's just not there if the company doesn't exist anymore. Is that correct?
Only if it hasn't vested. So some employers have a system where you have to work for a certain amount of years and then their contributions vest. Basically, they're kind of temporarily yours, but they're not fully yours mm-hmm. until you've worked for 3 or 4 years or whatever it is. So only the ones that have vested. The ones that have vested are yours, and that's been, you know, as you said, it's part of your wages, it's part of your compensation. That is yours.
Oh, that's so good. Most that's of it, good to know. Yeah, so that money already leaves their pocket at that point.
Exactly.
So that brings up another principle here, I think, which is portability as a core feature, because few people work for one company their whole careers anymore. So you should be able to take whatever pension contributions are made with you from job to job and have it all there when you retire, right?
Exactly. And I think these principles that you're mentioning, there's a set of 12 principles that a group called Retirement USA has come up with that any good pension system in the United States should have, and portability is definitely one of them. And it's incredibly important. We've got a mobile workforce today, for better or for worse, right? Need to be able to take it with you. And right now, actually, in fact, the 401k system isn't really portable, right? You can roll things over, but most of the times, especially people have small account balances, they just cash them out because it may be too difficult to figure out how to roll them over. Heck, I had some trouble figuring out how to roll mine over, and this is what I do for a living.
How about Abe in Astoria? You're on WNYC. Hello, Abe.
Hi, I love your show. I want to just comment on what your guest just said, and it's under the heading of service. He didn't know, you know, what to do with his 401k. That's because, I believe, the companies and the 401k plan providers really do a poor job of educating the plan participants. And that's typically the responsibility of both the plan provider and the employer who sponsors the plan. And although I believe 401ks are not going away because they can't, there's no viable alternative, what we need is to relook at the 401k and make it more efficient. And that, I think, starts with service.
Abe, thank you.
Well, I agree with you, Abe. You know, 401k plan providers and plan sponsors and plan administrators, the employees as well, could do a lot better job. And, you know, there's some room for improvements to the 401k. You know, we could imagine, you know, the administration, as we said, is a plan that they basically want to improve the 401k more or less. You know, even all the education and all the other improvements in the world really aren't going to fix some of the fundamental flaws of the system. Basically, there's still going to be market volatility. There's still going to be risk. There's still going to be fees.
I just want to acknowledge before you go that your report does mention that President Obama has proposed a pension reform plan called an automatic IRA, but I gather you're not crazy about it. What's in the Obama plan?
Well, basically, the Obama plan is proposing to, if your employer doesn't have a 401k, to ask your employer to set up an automatic payroll deduction into an IRA for you. And these same IRAs that our first caller was talking about that actually have their own set of problems. And really, the plan, it's really just an automatic enrollment. Make sure everybody's enrolled, plus a few other provisions that try to maybe give you a little more information. There's an online clearinghouse. But in essence, really, all it does is get everyone into the IRA system, which is really expensive. IRAs, in fact, even have higher fees than 401ks. They're really bad in that way. And so it will get everyone involved, but really maybe increase some marginal retirement savings for some people, but really it may end up in just a lot more profits for Wall Street.
Give me just a quick 30 seconds on the politics of reforming private pensions going forward with the guaranteed income plan you were talking about, for example. Can you get a political head of steam going for any of this with the current Congress and climate, or who would push back?
Well, it's difficult, of course. You know, there's a lot of pushback from the industry because any reform like the guaranteed retirement accounts or any of the other plans that are out there that are going to cut down on fees are, of course, going to cut down on industry profits, which are huge. They were selling like $20 billion last year, just massive profits in this industry. And so they're going to push back. Also, there's obviously political opposition to anything right now that even smacks of a government program, right? Even though the guaranteed retirement account really would just be administered by the government wouldn't even just play an intermediary role. But even that, you know, everyone's like, oh, a government program, and no one even wants to hear about that right now. So it's difficult to get any kind of reform through that really is going to fundamentally change the system.
Robert Hilton Smith from Demos, he wrote a report called The Failure of the 401k. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for having me, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Our pension series continues tomorrow. We will also get a take next on the crisis in Japan from a nuclear power expert with the environmental group NRDC, and we'll give you the latest from northern Japan. Stay with us.